Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is a question many of us have heard, not only asked by our Protestant brethren, but even by those in the church, alive with the Holy Spirit, wondering, where is the light of Christ in each of us? It's a reasonable question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Even for the baptized who, through the ritual washing of their sins and an understanding of the faith, sometimes will not act as if that has happened. Priests, bishops, even popes occasionally, and certainly any number of lay faithful and religious all know that we're sinners. Does that mean that we can't accept Christ as our Savior? No. Does it mean that we don't understand that He washes us through the blood of His cross from our sins? No. What it does mean as sinners is that each of us has to encounter the loving mercy of Christ. When we think about mysteries of our faith, like the ascension, many of us probably want to keep it at that, a mystery. It's kind of hard to explain how a human being, though he is divine, can ascend into heaven. And it may be even harder to explain to hard-nosed scientists and non-believers that in his ascension, the promise of the Holy Spirit would take root. It's not hard to believe because of history or even science, really. It's hard to believe because of our personal witness to the saving power of Christ. The question, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, is one that is not answered with dogma. It's one that's rarely answered with Scripture, actually. Very often, it's answered with a personal story of conversion, of that epiphany moment when we encounter the love of Christ. But many times when we start to talk about Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, what happens? Well, he becomes something he's not. He becomes the lyrics to a song that have absolutely nothing to do with God. Jesus is not the lyrics to your favorite song, unless your favorite song is "Jesus is my Savior, this I know." Jesus is not a nice night with friends and some memories, though he's present in those moments. Jesus is not the mountaintop emotional experience you had as a teenager, though he was present in that moment. Jesus is the divine Son of God, the Savior of all humanity, our Lord, our King, and our hope. Today, I'd like to reflect with you on Sacred Scripture three images of Christ that are real, that are rooted in Sacred Scripture, and that have an effect in our lives. And many of us have probably actually encountered Christ in these ways, though in our personal story, that's not how we recall it, and that's okay. People don't need to hear dogma and Scripture always to know who Christ is, but we have to give them a reason for our hope, as St. Peter reminded us last week. And we're reminded again today again in the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. We must know what is our hope that belongs to Christ. So the first image I'd like to meditate on is Jesus as the King and as the center of all worship. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see what were the disciples doing before they encountered the love of God, before they encountered Christ. Well, they were worshiping. And then they were breaking bread with him, waiting to hear what he had to say. When Jesus came to them, they asked him many questions. "Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he says, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority." No, he comes as the King of Kings and the head of the church, and as the center of all worship, because he draws us into heaven. And what does it mean to say that Jesus is the center of all worship? Well, in a very simple, in very simple terms, it means that Christ is the one who offers the sacrifice on behalf of and for the people of God. He is the high priest. But it also means that when we come to Jesus as our Lord, as our King, as the center of our worship, that we respect, we honor, and we adore him. He says to his disciples, "You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." We witness most especially to the life of Christ when we worship together. And in our common sonship, sons and daughters of God, when we worship together, we not only make ourselves, by the grace of God, more holy, but we sanctify the world. And in worshiping God, we come to be more like God. As St. John Chrysostom said, we become that which we were baptized into. And so if Jesus is truly the center of our worship, I want to recommend three very practical ways to show this. And part of this is just because it's the summer. One, reverence in what we wear. I don't have to worry about the 9 o'clock Mass too much, but the 11 o'clock I do. What you wear is an outward sign of your respect for the one whom you adore. If you come to Mass like you're going to a club, you're not really showing respect for the one whom we adore. A second very practical way of thinking about how we can worship the center of Christ as the center of our worship. When we come to Mass, we prepare for Mass. We don't come in late or at the last minute as the first song is being sung, but we come to Mass on our knees, praying before God, asking to get more out of this Mass, to get more of the grace he offers to us as he is the center of our worship. And thirdly, in a very practical way, to remain after Mass or in that time after communion and really earnestly pray in thanksgiving for Christ as the Savior of the universe and as your Lord and Savior. That moment of thanksgiving that the church demands of us is one that we all need to take greater advantage of to receive the fruits of this great Eucharist. The second image of Christ that is real and grounded in Scripture is that he is the source of our hope. How often it is in the world that many people say those Christians are crazy. Look at them. They're willing to die for their Savior. They're willing to starve. They're willing to be imprisoned. Why? What's the source of this witness? And as we see in Scripture today in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it's our hope and our joy that comes from Christ our Savior. So Christ is the source of all of our hope. He exercises, as St. Paul says, dominion above all creation. Above all creation. The angels and each of us. All things are below his feet. But him being the source of hope helps us to do more than just say, I'm hopeful that I'll get to heaven. It gives us hope in times of despair, when our family seems to be falling apart around us, when our job goes away from us, when we can't seem to do anything right. He's the source of our hope. In a practical way, he's the source of our hope because without the hope of salvation in Christ and the resurrection, this life really on earth is all you have. And for many of us, that's a sad reality. If this is all we have, then why would God create us in the first place? But because God calls us through the hope we have and reigning with him for all eternity in heaven, we can be people of joy. And so in a practical sense, the third application of this is being joyful in the hope we have of salvation. Not just falling into the temptation of saying, oh, well, God will save me in the end. But in the beginning, when we've encountered the love of Christ, that we joyfully live out the hope of our salvation. And the third image to meditate on today is Christ, our teacher. Many times, the world over says the Catholic Church has too many rules. Well, let's look at Sacred Scripture today. Jesus says, go and make, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is a requirement. It's not just a suggestion. It's something he's telling us we need for our salvation. But secondly, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not some of what I commanded you, not just a few things, but all that I have commanded you. Think about it. Jesus spent 3 years with these guys. He probably said a little bit more than love God and love neighbor. I don't know if you've met Mediterranean people, but they do like to talk a lot. And if you've met the ones here in Tyler, you know they're pretty opinionated too. So I would imagine Jesus said a few more words than love God and love neighbor. But he did say those words. But he also gave us the Beatitudes. He gave us the commandments, again, made in his image. He gave us the sacraments. Part of his teaching was to teach the apostles how to forgive sins, how to make present his body in the Mass, how to be close to the sick and the suffering. So Christ, our teacher, many of us may have had an intellectual conversion or reversion or are awakened sometimes and when we read scripture or hear homilies that really excite us to think more about our faith. But Christ as teacher reveals himself completely. He doesn't hide anything from us, and that's what's so beautiful. He's not a God who's far off. No, he's more intimate and close to you and I than we could ever imagine. But we have to get to know him, to allow ourselves that opportunity. So some practical suggestions to know Christ the teacher. One, read scripture. Read it a lot, read it often. When you think you know it all, read it again. I have to constantly read it again because I forget which words go where. When you're preaching all the time, you kind of need to know those things. But we preach with our lives and our knowledge of scripture, so reading scripture. Secondly, reading the catechism. What a great gift. In the 2,000 years of our church, rarely have we had the chance as a universal faith, a Catholic faith, to say as a whole body, we know exactly what the church is teaching. We have printing presses, praise be God. We have the internet, free catechisms on the internet to read a little bit about your faith, to know Christ as he reveals himself. And thirdly, Christ the teacher. He teaches by his presence. Go to adoration. Go to adoration. He'll teach you, he'll love you, he'll offer you mercy, and he'll draw you more deeply into his own life. When he says he's with us until the end of the ages, as he did today in this gospel, he promises us the Holy Spirit, but he also promises us that he will be with us as our personal Lord and Savior until the end of the ages. Let's get to know our Lord and Savior, the one who is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.